Praise God. I want to thank you all today for inviting us into your living room. Thank God. I don't think there's any of us here today that can deny that there's something in this room today, something maybe that you experience every time you come to the house of God, and hopefully you do experience it, where you and I begin to understand that there is some reality, there's something so real about the presence of God, about the kingdom of God, about the family of God. What we're experiencing in this sanctuary today is something that people throughout all of time have sought for. They seek for it in so many ways, so many different avenues. We've got just down the street from us, not too far, the United Nations that are looking for what we have today through negotiation and other ways that they're attempting to do this. But there is really no true unity, no true sense of lasting family that can come apart from Jesus Christ. And I thank God for that with all of my heart today. When I first came here almost 20 years ago, I remember somebody telling me, you know, in a big church like this, you're going to have to get used to one thing, that it's impossible to have intimacy and a sense of family in a big church. And I remember looking at that person thinking, I don't believe that. I don't see that in the Bible. See, this is my text. This is what I read. This is my standards don't come from some committee somewhere that makes a blind declaration. The Word of God tells me that we can be a family. The Word of God says that we can break down barriers, that we can care one for another, that we can have our differences and yet still be united together. And I thank God that in this church, and I believe in many others in this city, there's a strong sense of family that can only be found in God. In the house of the Lord, those who are struggling need to find a family. Those who are living on the outskirts need to be able to find a family. And not just a marginal position, but full acceptance in the family of God. I thank God for that with all of my heart. You know, Christmas time, we usually read Luke chapter 2. It's the text of the scene where people are being taxed, and because of that taxation, they're being sent to their hometowns to register so they could be properly accounted for and taxed appropriately. People gathering in an inn in Bethlehem, probably the more influential, getting the best beds, the best seats at the table, and the less influential having to more or less fend for themselves. The Jewish people in this text certainly had a culture and a special place in history that had to be, in some measure, the envy of many around them. The Jewish people had a strong sense of family, and that exists even today. You go into most of the parks on any kind of a holiday, and you're going to see a lot of Jewish families in New York City with their full extended families and their children spending time together in the parks. And that sense of family planted in them by God has remained even to this day and allowed the people to retain their identity and culture, even though dispersed for thousands of years among the peoples of the world. They had a promise of blessing, the same as you and I do today. God says, for those who are mine, I'll bless you and I'll make you a blessing. I'll fill your cup to the point where it overflows, where what you have, you'll be compelled, in one sense, to give to others, whether it's simply words of cheer and encouragement or whether you have a little bit extra at the end of the month that you can give to somebody that has not enough. And even many people had to conclude that these people had a God-breathed ability to fulfill their full destiny and their purpose as a people on the earth. And you have that as well, and I have that today. Having been grafted into the lineage of God through Jesus Christ, we have the promise of family, we have the promise of blessing, and we've been given a God-breathed ability to fulfill our full destiny on the earth. None of us should have to come short of what God calls us to be and calls us to do. I thank God for that with all of my heart. There's nothing that stops you. There's nothing that stops me from being everything God called us to be, and even from reclaiming what we have lost in great measure, other than unbelief. If we simply refuse to believe that God is who He said He is, that He will do what He said He will do, how awful it must have seemed for the Jewish people of that time in Luke chapter 2 to feel this proven, the familiar presence of family, blessing, this divine ability to be the people God called them to be, slowly slipping away from them, and they themselves being led into a foreboding and an unfamiliar place. Now, you and I know the history. The Roman Empire had conquered all of the known world at that time. Of course, and Israel was part of that. This was a foreign power to them. It had taken over their nation and was now moving them about at its own will and for its own purposes. People didn't have any recourse. They were told which town to go to. They were told how to get there. There was really no compassion in a sense for how much difficulty that was going to cause, how much employment was going to be lost, or any of these things. It was simply they were being moved about by forces that were more powerful than them. How dark and fearful it must have seemed for so many people in that inn in Bethlehem on that fateful night. The inn would have provided temporary relief and shelter, just as this church does today. You and I have come into this church, and I want you to consider this for a moment, a Bethlehem inn. We are living in perilous times. We are moving far away from our cultural and moral moorings as a nation. And many of the things that you and I have held dear for most of our lives are beginning to slide through our fingers. Just outside of this door, we have a poster of Christ on a cross being called a myth. In a society that is largely beginning to agree with this kind of reasoning. But you and I here today know differently. We know that God is alive. We know that Christ... We know that Christ died on a cross. We know that victory is real. We know that family in the kingdom of God is a reality. We know that the weak can be made strong. The captivated can be set free. The spiritually blind can be given vision for the future. We know that those that are imprisoned in their minds can be released from that imprisonment and being given a new mind because that is promised by God. We know that there is a destiny even in these dark times for the children of God. But even though there was temporary shelter and relief in that inn in Bethlehem, there had to be a sense of something on the horizon that only God could help them to overcome. No matter how much they read the scriptures or how warm the fire was or how comfortable the bed was or how much people had in the bank, to get them through the storm of that time, there had to be an inner awareness at that table. I want you to consider the fact that they were only 2 years away in Bethlehem from Herod issuing a decree that all the children 2 years and under were to be slaughtered. That was just outside the door. It wasn't very far away. They were only a stone's throw in time from being scattered as a people among the nations. Oh, yes, indeed, there were difficult days ahead of them, just as there might be difficult days ahead for you and I. And people sitting at that table would be saying to one another, only God could help us in a situation like this. Only God could make our being here relevant. Only God could help us to fulfill that sense of destiny that we believe is still ours as a people among the nations. But how is God going to do this? How is he going to help us? When will he come? And you know, so many people have a preconceived notion of what meeting God is like. You know, some of you came here today and you have a almost like we heard about a Christmas wish list from these children today and say, well, if I feel electricity in my left leg, if there's somehow a cloud appears to me, if I hear trumpets that nobody else is hearing, and you have an inner sense of what meeting God is going to look like. If I'm lifted out of my body as it is and brought in, as Paul was, to the third heaven, then I'll believe in God. And you've come one more time knowing this is true, knowing this is right, knowing that freedom is ours, knowing that salvation belongs to those who trust in Christ for it. And that you wonder, how is God going to come to me and how is he going to help me? And suddenly there's a knock at the door. And it's a small knock. I don't think it's a loud fist banging on the door. I think it's a very gentlemanly kind of a knock. And when they peer outside that door, there's just a little couple, and she's about to have a baby, not realizing that God comes to us in a small way. And sometimes the knock is a small knock on the door of our heart. And they look out, and what they're looking at is the complete provision of God for their situation. But it didn't fit the criteria of what God should look like. And that's the dilemma. Even John, the beloved apostle, in John chapter 1 said, he was the light of the world. Jesus was the light that men need. But the light shined in the darkness, but the darkness couldn't understand it, couldn't comprehend it, had a preconceived view of what meeting God is going to look like. But then the scripture goes on to say, as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. So many here today say, well, how do I find God? You see, the people in the inn, they didn't understand. They couldn't understand the ways of God, so they rejected it. It didn't fit their way of thinking that God should meet with his people. And so God had to go outside of that room and go out into a country place where there were no doors that would bar him. And he revealed himself to shepherds, just ordinary people, like you and me. No theological training, no influence. They weren't the movers and shakers in their society, I guarantee you that much. But they could hear something in their littleness, as it is, in their lack of preconception about God. The angels could come to them and begin to speak to them about who God is and how he was going to appear among men. And they went to a little stable, a little outside the inn, and they found the Son of God. And it's an amazing thing when you begin to realize it, that suddenly it says the whole heavens were filled with the glory of God. And angels began to sing. It says suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. You see, and I can see these shepherds now looking down at this. They don't get it all. And many people come to the church like you've come today, and they say, well, when I get it all, then I'll give my life to Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to suggest to you, ma'am and sir, you're not going to get it all in a moment of time. God comes to you as a small, soft knock on the door of your heart. It might not look like any more than a baby to you. It's so small. It's so mysterious. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind, but in your heart, you know this is right. And all that God requires of you and of me is to open the door of our heart and say, as small as my understanding is of the ways of God, I know in time it will grow. I know in time I will understand it. I have an inner sense that this is the provision of God. This child born 2,000 years ago who was one day going to go to a cross is the provision of God for my need, for my heart, for my mind, for my future, my everything and my all. I have an understanding, an inner understanding that this is the very reason that I was born into this world, was to come in contact with this child and to let him come into my heart. If they had opened the door to that inn, can you imagine? The scripture said that angels filled the heavens and began to sing. It was a worship time such as had probably never been seen in the entire nation of Israel. But it was a worship time that was hidden from those who had these preconditions, who had this, in a sense, religious hardness upon their hearts and said, no, if God meets with me, it must be this way. It can't be any other way. This is how he has to do it. And that hardness of their heart kept the door closed and literally kept the angels outside. And they missed out on one of the most powerful moments of God in the history of the world. But it says the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they'd heard and seen as it was told them. And today you've come into this house one way. And what I want to tell you as best as I can is that you can leave another way. You've come in curious, but if you will let that door of your heart open, if you will let the little bit of God that you now understand begin to guide your life, if you will let the Christ into your heart and say, maybe, Jesus, I don't fully get it all, but I know in my heart this is true. There's something inside of me says this is right. I've come and I've seen something. I've seen it on this platform. I've heard it in the worship. There's something of God here. There's something that is not born of a good program. As good as the program might be, there's something deeper than the program here. There's something in the words, something in the song, something in the way people carry themselves. It's testifying to my heart about something that is of God, even though I only have a little bit of understanding. I am not willing to stay on the outside of what God wants to do in my life. I'm not willing to stay on the outside of where fulfillment and purpose and meaning in living in this world is really found. And so with the small measure of understanding that I have, I'm going to open my heart and I'm simply going to say, Jesus, Son of God, I want to go home today praising you. I want to go home singing. I want to go home worshiping. I want to go home and be the father that my children have always longed for me to be. Even if your children are no longer under your roof, there is a bond that God put between you, and all is not lost if you will turn to God. There's others that were saying, I want to go home. I want to be the husband my wife has always longed for. I want to be the wife that my husband has always needed. I want to be the son or the daughter that my parents truly deserve. Because of God in my life. I want to go home singing. I want to go home filled with God. I want to go home free. I want to go home knowing the purpose of God for my life here on this earth. I want to go home being part of something bigger than myself. I want to go home and be part of that testimony of Scripture like we've read about today. We read about these shepherds who didn't know that a secret pen in heaven was recording their journey, both to the place where Christ was and when they went back to their place of employment. They went home singing and dancing and praising and testifying for the things that they had seen and heard. And they had no idea that a heavenly pen was recording it. And that 2,000 years later, you and I would be talking about it this morning. But I tell you, if you walk out of here singing, there is a pen that begins to record your songs. There is something in your life that begins to make a difference. Everywhere you travel, where you work, where you live, in your home, your family, in your own mind, I tell you on the authority of the Word of God that this is the finest hour for the Church of Jesus Christ, no matter what we have to face. This is an incredible hour. This is a time of worship. It's a time of freedom. It's a time of glory. It's a time of joy. It's a time of song. In the midst of whatever confusion we have to face, God still lives. God is still alive. Now the question today is, will you open the door of your heart? And will you let Him be God? For some of you, it's going to be the first time you've ever done anything like this. This is the only way that He's going to meet with you. You have to accept it by faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came into the world to pay the price for the wrong that you have done, so that you might be free from the penalty of sin and brought into the family of God and the kingdom of God. He paid a price on the cross so that you might be delivered from all that oppresses your mind. From all that makes you fearful about tomorrow, all that tells you that you don't have a future, all that causes you to grasp at the straws in a sense of this life that never satisfy. He promises freedom from addiction and bondage and hopelessness and suicide and despair, to give you a song and a reason to live. And all that He asks you to do is get up and open the door. It was that simple. Can you imagine if those people had opened the door? Not just Mary and Joseph, angels would have come in with them. The shepherds probably would have come into the inn as well. There would have been a time of celebrating like we see on this platform today. There would have been songs and testimonies and witness and clapping as they saw unfold one of the greatest miracles of all of time and eternity. The Son of God being born into that situation and into the world. Today, that all that Jesus asks of you is to open your heart. Open your heart. You have your handle on the door latch right now. You are the one who makes that decision. Nobody makes it for you. You're the one who chooses, when Jesus knocks, to open that door and say, in the littleness of my understanding, Almighty God, I invite you to come in and be the Lord of this house. And do with me and in me what is in your heart to do. For I know that safety and purpose is found in no other place but in the hands of God. If you are here today, and that is you, and you would like to give your life to Jesus Christ, and you would like the freedom that God offers to you, and you would like a song that you don't have to leave here. You know, almost every Broadway show in, this is not a Broadway show, but all the Broadway shows in Broadway, you leave the songs at the back door. I live next door to two of these, and when I go out to walk my dog, the people don't look happy coming out. As happy as the place declares itself, they don't look happy. You don't have to leave here like that. You can leave here with a song. You can be singing all the way home on the subway today. I'm going to give you an opportunity. We're going to stand in the... I don't know what to call you here. I was going to call you a choir. You're not a choir. You're not an ensemble. Family. Sorry. My family is going to sing a song. If you would like to receive Christ as your Savior, if you would like the freedom as well that God offers through Jesus Christ, you're done striving, you're tired of pushing, you're tired of grasping, you're tired of trying to claw your way out of your own prison. Jesus came to set you free. If you would like that freedom, I'm going to open the front of this auditorium and ask you to slip out of your seat and make your way here, and we're going to pray together in a moment before we close. Let's stand, please, if you will. And as they sing, would you slip out of your seat? Just make your way here. God is calling you. Just come. Just come. Wherever you are in the balcony, go to either exit. In the annex, you can make your way here. And join us at the front of the sanctuary, please, if you will. God bless you. Hallelujah. Do you realize the awesomeness of this moment? That you're about to open the door of your heart and invite Jesus Christ to come into your life. I did that over 30 years ago now, probably closer to 35 years ago. And I didn't understand much, but I knew that what I was hearing was true. It was real. And I had the promise of a new life. And I had the promise of God saying to me that He would change me and make me into the person that He intended me to be. And if I had an hour, I'd tell you what He's done. It's been amazing what God has done. I only have one or two pictures of myself before I got saved left. And it's hard to even look at it because that person is gone. That person no longer exists. That person was hard and cold. You have to take the testimony of today as your truth, your introductory truth to God, and you open your door to Christ. But very shortly, you won't need me or anybody else telling you that He's alive. You will know it because He comes in and changes you from the inside out. And suddenly you have new thoughts, you have new desires, you have a new way of doing things. An old word comes out that you've been familiar with saying all your life, and then suddenly you feel bad about it, and you've never felt bad about it your whole life. And you just don't want to talk that way anymore. One day you tell something that's not quite true, and you've been used to doing that, but all of a sudden there's something inside says, don't do that anymore. You don't have to do that. You can speak the truth because this is a kingdom of truth. And it's amazing how God begins to change you. And everything starts to reverse inside, that everything that sin started to do starts to be broken, and a brand new life starts to happen. Sort of like a flower when it hits water. It's all closed up. When it hits the water, it just suddenly opens and becomes something of beauty. And that's what God does. No matter what you're coming from or what kind of a mess you've gotten into, He will make you clean today as if you've never sinned and receive you into His family and start you on that journey of a new life. And if you're captivated, He'll set you free. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. God is so faithful. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I'm going to ask you to make it your own prayer and pray it with me and mean it from your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for receiving me. Today, you've come knocking on the door of my heart. And so I opened the door and I said, Jesus, you are welcome to come into my life and to be my God, my Lord, and my Savior. I thank you for loving me enough to come to my house with all of my struggles and all my failures. Yet you come knocking on the door of my house. Be God to me and make me into everything that you want my life to be. I give you the rights to all of my future. And I thank you for taking away my past and giving me a clean slate and hope for tomorrow. Use my life for your glory and let heaven's pen write my story that others may read it and be encouraged. I want to go home singing today. I thank you for coming into my heart, for receiving me as your own. And from this day forward, Jesus Christ, Son of God, you are welcome in my house. In your name, amen. Praise God. Make sure, please make sure, if you're visiting from out of town, make sure that you get yourself plugged into a good church, a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And if they are Bible-believing and teaching, they should have a new believers class. That's a good way to find out. Ask them if they have a new believers class. And are you a Christian church? Do you preach and teach from the Word of God? If you're from the New York area, you're more than welcome to fellowship with us, or we can help you find a church somewhere close to where you live. There are people downstairs in the lower lobby that will help you and pray for you. And folks, we need to give God praise for what He's done today. God bless you.